Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
We live in a world of fees. Airlines, hotels, food delivery, and especially car dealers all charge excessive last-minute fees. When you want something badly enough, it feels like your only choice is to pay up. But what if you had a choice to take a stand instead? At Carvana, we believe in treating you better. With zero hidden fees, you can drive off without feeling ripped off. That's what it means to live feelessly with Carvana.
That Lil Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, but it said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babo, you know that. You could get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now, that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.
Welcome to Collider Live. It is Friday. Bienvenidos. Feliz Viernes. Happy Friday. I'm Darina, your host, hoping that I do not get impeached this week for being so salty on the space movie. But I still hope that you guys enjoyed it. I hope that everybody enjoys all the art and all the movies. And I'm very happy to be here with my friends, Perry Nemiroff.
Hi, hi.
Hey, Perry.
So
what's
happy
up? What's up, Perry?
Here.
Was I on last Friday?
Yes, you were.
Okay. That happened last week.
I don't
it's
remember
cool.
yesterday.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
I don't remember what we covered on Movie Talk 5 minutes ago.
There you go. I don't remember what I did 2 minutes ago. Am I hosting? So, we also have the great Mark Riley.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Happy Friday.
How are
Yay.
You? How's it going?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I see that. Welcome, everybody in the chat.
We actually
Please.
Have a live chat again.
We have a live chat. Please
yes.
be... Be nice.
Oh, you guys turned it off too. Everyone turned
we
it
turned
off.
We turned it off every day, off for except the... for today.
Okay, yeah. okay.
Because, well, before I talk about our exciting interview that's planned for the day, we also have Christian Ruwakawa in the booth with
what
Alex
up?
Marsonia.
What up?
How you guys doing?
Christian, what's up, dude?
Can you see Alex's mustache? Oh my God, look at that thing!
Alex's mustache.
Lick it off your face.
Is better than Henry Cavill's. I'll just say it right now.
I think so. Not better than Tom Selleck's, but better than Henry Cavill's.
No.
Yes. Very happy to have you, Christian. Cody is off doing some probably daddy stuff.
Some daddy stuff.
Not the hot kind, though, huh?
I don't know.
Well, you're right. I hope he is. Because he should have a break.
Right? He deserves
Anyways.
A break. Yeah.
But no, I'm actually very excited about today's episode because we are interviewing Forrest Galante.
Yeah.
And he is a real-life superhero. If you guys don't know who he is a wildlife expert. And he has this really cool show on Animal Planet called Extinct or Alive.
Yep.
And anything to do with nature, wildlife stuff is fascinating to me. Like, I love watching Blue Planet, and I love watching all these because I'm terrified of it, but I'm fascinated by it as well.
Right.
And I think people like him, like Forrest, are real-life superheroes for it.
They are. I went immediately to the shark episodes. What about you, Darina? Do you like sharks?
He's friends with all my enemies. He's friends with sharks. He's friends
snakes.
With snakes.
I know.
But that's what's so... That's
you don't
what's,
like sharks and snakes?
It's not... Here's the thing. I grew up terrified of them. Thanks
Why?
To Jaws and
okay.
Anaconda and all the movies.
Specifically because of movies?
I think so. Okay. I'm trying to figure it out. It could be some other deep-rooted traumatic issues, you know? But no, I think that's why. But it's interesting now having to see movies and being forced to see movies for my job. And actually having to watch, like, I had to watch these episodes with him in it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, he's just chilling with snakes, and I have to. What are you doing, Christian?
I thought someone sneezed.
No,
I know. I thought I did. I thought somebody sneezed in the booth, and I was like, "Let's just go with it.
Oh,
it's fine. Nobody heard."
Darina, do you have a fear of cats now?
Oh my god!
Do you have a fear of cats?
Oh, that's the worst.
Do you?
No, I love cats.
So did Doug.
So the movie didn't change anything for you?
No, no. I love cats in general, but I was terrified of the movie Cats. I think I think it's the best horror movie of 2019.
It might be.
Wasn't it great how Good Morning America took that?
That apparently
took that little soundbite there.
We were on Good Morning America
for
this
a hot
morning.
Second. Hot second.
For
we
a
were
hot
on.
Second.
Let's
Christian,
play it. When, yeah.
Let's watch ourselves be idiots on a live, not live, but a national television.
Yeah, I was just sitting there like a moron.
With reviews like these, putting the ow in the ow. Horrifying, the stuff of nightmares.
I felt like a parasite was eating my brain while I was watching this movie.
Yes, critics.
Oh, Dan Casey's on there, a friend from Nerdist.
Yeah.
I saw Roth in the background, too.
Yeah, I did, too. That's like all of the YouTube like nerd community is basically complaining about this movie, but also I still had fun at that screening. Didn't you, Perry?
I had so much fun that I'm catching myself recommending it to people.
Me too.
Hands down, one of the worst movies I've seen all year, but I can't stop talking about
Same.
It.
I think it's awesomely bad and everyone should watch this ridiculous movie.
Wait, one of the polls they did for a quote was probably the greatest poll I've seen.
What was it?
Worst thing to happen to cats since dogs. That's amazing.
That is a good one.
That is a good one.
That is pretty good, even though I love both of them equally, but still.
Best.
I know. Hey, Christian, are you happy you're in that clip?
No. I don't like the attention.
I don't either.
I really don't. Especially, I don't even have a fucking beard. God damn it.
You just shaved it off, too.
Yeah,
you
man.
Messed up, man.
Sorry.
I just look like some asshole on the internet.
Yeah,
God
you do.
Damn it.
No, a beardless asshole is what you
look
like. Before you were a bearded asshole.
So. Mm-hmm.
But no, thank you, Good Morning America. I guess I came up. Stop that, Christian. It's freaking me out. I don't like hissing and snakes. But speaking of Forrest Galante, I actually am really interested in talking to him because
yeah, me too.
I feel like we all are scared of certain animals. Some people are scared of bugs, right? Some people are scared of snakes, etc. But why? Right? I think it's a fascinating thing where it's like we see a cute fluffy puppy or a koala bear and we are like, oh, that's cute. I'll go say hi. Why don't we go say hi to these other creatures? Right?
Because they'll eat you.
And because bees have stingers and they're going to like poke me. I don't want that.
Is that what you're scared of?
Yeah.
Bees?
Specifically bees. It's
only bees.
Just bees.
Just bees.
Bees and the dentist. And I swear to God, if you play a dentist drill, I'm going to lose my mind and walk out of this room.
Please do.
Christian, I think you know what you need to do. There's one.
So how do you watch Candyman?
I like Candyman quite a bit.
I was going to say, you love that movie. Tony Todd, man.
I think Candyman in particular is so, so good that I can't say no to it because there's bees in it. But I don't know. It's just about...
There it is.
It's not nice.
Perry, you
got to
know by
ear.
Now. You can't say, don't play that sound that freaks me out because the booth boys are going to go do it.
You know they're going to do
it. And this is why
it.
I love them.
Well,
can I put them back on?
Yeah, you're fine. I won't
He says you're fine and he won't do it again.
I really don't like. If you guys saw me at my last dentist appointment, it was bad.
So what is so scary about it? It's the fact that you think it's going to hurt?
So I'm convinced I know where the fear came from. When I was a tiny child, and you know when you go to a pediodontist instead of a regular dentist?
Mm-hmm.
A regular dentist? That's kind of funny.
It's funny. It's a good word. I'm also scared of the dentist. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the key to getting out of my fear.
Just call him a dentist.
When I went to the pedia, I'm not going to say it.
No. Call him a pedia.
When I went to a kid dentist.
Right.
Okay.
I'm convinced, because I had cavities as a kid, I'm convinced they only did the paint on Novocaine and not the shot Novocaine, which gives you a different kind of numbness. So I really do believe I felt more pain as a kid.
Right.
So it freaks me out.
So it is literally the pain that you're afraid of.
I'm afraid of the pain, but just walking into the office for a cleaning just scares the crap out of me.
Do the shots bother you?
Funny thing is, no. It is strictly when a dentist touches my teeth. I could sit there all day and get shots in my gums, no problem.
It's just the teeth.
It's just the
like
teeth.
Like the clinking and all that. That's fascinating because you just went bungee jumping and you just did all the crazy things. But
I would go bungee jumping 20 times over rather than sitting through a 15-minute cleaning.
So now let me ask you this. Are you afraid of Little Shop of Horrors?
I do find the dentist in Little Shop of Horrors quite unpleasant.
I was going to say, because that's a great scene.
That
Steve Martin, Bill Murray.
Yeah. And as much as I love Final Destination 2, that sequence gets me a little uncomfortable.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
What about you, Mark?
What?
What are you afraid
dentist?
Of?
What, dentist? No. What am
Other
I afraid
than
of?
Death, of course.
Other than death, just death across the board. Just think about it. It's kind of one of those things where someday I'm going to die, and that fucking terrifies me.
But hopefully we all go somewhere cool, man.
I hope so.
Wherever Schnipp is, is where I'm hoping we all go.
I hope he has a glass of wine waiting for me, man.
Exactly.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
Sharks are, you know, I'm fascinated by sharks. So
I
went
right
to. I love Jaws. But when I go in the ocean, I can't help but kind of but you. But it doesn't stop me. But I just had a pop in my in my microphone.
If I go in the
ocean, I do get a little of the heebie-jeebies when I consider like what's under there.
Because you can't see anything and you don't know what could get you.
I would trade my bee fear for your shark fear any day. Because like sharks, you can actively avoid and are not a daily presence in your life.
They're
like,
not going to show up on a pool.
A bee can pop up anywhere. So
yeah, bees don't scare me.
Did you remember recently when I had the bee problem in my apartment?
Yes, I do.
I was afraid to walk up to my door because there were like nests in the stairwell leading up to my apartment, and the building wouldn't take care of it. And
damn.
I just I was not going to go to my apartment.
So where did you just sleep somewhere else?
I mean, eventually I had to suck it up to go in and feed Dewey.
Well, I was
must have looked like a crazy person doing that because like I would have my coat over my head and I would run to the door like and fiddle with the keys. It was awful.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
Alex, what about you guys? Are you afraid of anything?
Oh, yeah. Alex, I'm afraid of Alex.
Yeah.
He's kind of scary. What about with that mustache, though?
Anyways. I'm actually afraid of spiders. I don't like spiders.
I was going there, Christian.
Spiders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't fuck with spiders.
Oh, I think they're so pretty.
That one, I shared that picture when I was like hanging out with my dad's because there was a web from the car in the parking lot to the garage. The driveway, and there was like two gigantic spiders that I wanted to kill with fire.
Because
I almost
walked.
No, I let them be.
I know.
Because I don't want to anger the army of spiders that might back them up.
And you don't want to disrupt nature.
Right. They're there for a reason.
That's why I stopped
killing
bugs.
Spiders are there for a reason.
I used to kill bugs when I was a kid, just like a little asshole. And I was like, there's like a black widow, you know, because where we grew up in Mexicali desert, it was a lot. There was a lot of poisonous
I can't
not snakes, but like
what
but
do you
bugs.
Do when there's a bug in your apartment, though?
So I try to just take it out.
OK.
Yeah. No, but I stopped killing them because eventually I found actual like respect for life. You know,
I try really hard not to kill them. Yeah. I'll do like the double cup scoop.
Yeah.
And I'll try to like catch it in a cup and then put it over the balcony and drop it into the apartment below me.
Yeah.
You're which like, I guess is now that I'm thinking about it what I'm
go visit my
doing.
Neighbor, little spider. Yeah.
I've learned now that I have a really great pest. Leia, she eats spiders.
Oh.
So the other day there was a daddy long legs and I was trying to just get it with a Kleenex, but Leia ate it. It was
so
really.
You're like, I guess
I was like, well, that takes care
that's
of that.
Nature.
Yeah,
too,
she's just
right?
like,
yeah.
I'm like, that's gross, dog. But thanks,
Daddy.
Yeah. Is that what Leia sounds like?
Wait, was that me or who is that, Christian?
I don't know. Alex just told me there's a soundbite in here that says Daddy. Alex, you want to explain?
That's a Roxy soundbite.
Oh, there you go. Hey. See, Roxy's here in spirit.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Didn't
she's
sound
always
like
here
her.
In spirit. It didn't. I was confused. Alex, you got any
Daddy.
Animal fears?
No.
There. Sorry, animal fears. Spiders suck. Bees suck.
Mm.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty much.
But
like
what
insects.
Do you guys...
I hate outdoors. Being outdoors.
But what do you guys do then? Like do you kill them or do you just kind of let it be?
Oh,
and
I fucking kill them. Fuck nature.
You do?
Yeah, screw that shit.
Nah.
Just run away.
I won't kill.
I used to be like you, Christian.
What, an asshole?
No, I am still an asshole, but I
animals,
used to be, but I now have a little bit more respect for, you know, things that are alive.
We used to get, like, crickets in our place all the time, and I never killed those. I always just grabbed those with my hand. Like,
there's
those
a cricket
never
in the studio, you know? There's a cricket in Studio B.
Do you know my mom?
Man.
We were just hanging out the other day.
We were so scared of my mom when we were kids. And
is she a spider?
No, she's awesome. But she was just, you know, strict when we were kids. Right, but right. Great mom. But she, you know, she was stressed out. She's a single mom. So she would sometimes, you know, like the fire.
Same with
and
my
the,
mom, yeah.
The Hispanic, Latino fire.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
But when we were trying to sleep, all in the same bed, like my mom, my brother, and her when we were kids, there was a cricket that would not shut up. And she literally shut him up. Like she just went, shh. Like she's just like, she's like, cállate. And then it just stopped. It stopped doing a thing. So yeah. There you go. See, you don't have to kill them. You just have to talk to them or yell at them in Spanish.
I'm gonna try that approach the next time I find a spider.
Yeah, there you go. See, that's not scary, Christian. But anyways, so we actually have a very short show today because it's Friday, unfortunately. And Force is coming in a few minutes.
Right.
Very exciting. But before we talk about a little bit about some news, we do have something to plug. And that is, look at Mark Riley's beautiful bomber jacket.
HeroesVillains.com, folks. This is like I'm stealing this.
So I'm going to steal this.
No, it's we're sharing
it
for. I am going to take it.
It's really cool.
I might take one of those.
This is my favorite thing. This is like my favorite, and especially today. You could really, really save if
That's
you get
true.
Especially this jacket.
I know. I want the Star Trek one, too.
The Star Trek one is
great.
Cool.
So, yeah, they have Star Wars stuff. They got Star Trek stuff, Batman, Joker, all the things. And today, specifically, there is 20% off everything on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And additionally, if you use code LIVE10 to support Collider Live so we can beat the other show. Sorry, Perry, because she's on Movie Talk.
Talk 10.
No, Live 10. So you can use that discount code. You get another 10% off. So go to heroesvillains.com. Buy some cool presents for yourself, for your family, for Christmas. Thank you, heroesvillains.com. You guys are always awesome to us, and we love your stuff. Anything else to plug? There is a new deepfake out there.
Oh, God, this is hysterical.
Salty George Lucas, that I actually think it's pretty funny. Our very talented Frank, the editor, worked on this. Fuck you, Frank, for being
Frank.
So talented. And it's up on Collider Video. It's actually what's our friend's name's Josh Robert Thompson, who's very funny, and he's walking around outside the AMC Burbank, and he's talking to people about Rise of Skywalker because he didn't get invited to the premiere. It's actually pretty great. You guys should check that out.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's the funniest part for me was I was there, was getting people like people were walking by going. What's going on right now? That's
right.
My favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite is going out in public and filming something that is so like sticking out like a sore thumb.
Right.
And people just going, what's going on? What's going on? And he's carrying around a baby Yoda. It's just perfect.
It's so good. But he actually kind of looked like him already with the beard and the hair.
He definitely does.
Without the deepfake, you know? So it is kind of funny. Because he was interviewing people. Like he was interviewing just people walking around. So good for them because that's brave. I don't do that. Mm. We just show up and go Morning America and then we're terrified of it. So what do
this
we got today, Mark?
Well, you like that space movie, right? No, right? It's The Rise of Skywalker, though. Box office, Thursday night opening numbers are in, and it's looking pretty good. It actually is the fifth highest opening Thursday of all time. It did beat Avengers Infinity War, which went ahead and made $2 billion later on, so
Jesus.
That's a good sign. Rise of Skywalker, with its $40 million estimated right now, is behind the Force Awakens, which was $57 million, which kind of makes sense because it was the first Star Wars movie that came out. And it was around The Last Jedi, which was at about $45 million. So it's on track to be a huge opening. So these numbers are kind of the precursor to that. Perry, I know you're a big box office person. What do you make of these numbers?
These numbers are solid. I still think that it's going to come in behind Last Jedi.
I think so, too.
My final prediction wound up being $190 million, which I still think is a possibility. I just have a feeling that a lot of people are going to see it with great urgency Thursday night, Friday, and, you know, all through the weekend. But I still don't think that this one is going to have the repeat viewings necessary to really propel it forward.
I wonder. I was bracing for impact, and I got to say right now on my Twitter with some of the mentions from our spoiler review, you guys have been great. Like, people are having fun. They're talking about, you know, the flaws in the movie, and some people are like, F it, I love it. You know, some people are like, oh, I get it. There's some flaws there, but I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just seeing, like, a lot of people enjoying Star Wars, and that just makes me happy.
That's kind of how I feel.
That's
it's
all
like
I
even
want.
If I didn't like the movie, I still like I said on the spoiler review yesterday for Collider that I'm hoping it's erased forever. But
I mean,
you know, because that Riley and I were on with Dennis and Roka. But I think that
Megan
I don't.
Big and-
I don't like. I didn't like it. I want people to like it. I don't want people to not be happy. I want people to enjoy it. So I still was liking my friends' photos on Instagram yesterday, where they're all going to see this movie with their families. Like it's about. That's what it's about. It's a movie going experience with your friends, with your loved ones. Even if the movie, whatever you think of it, good or bad, it's all about what you're sharing in that moment. So I'm happy for the people doing that. I do have to agree with you, Mark, that apart from some of the really messy comments, I feel like most people that have either tweeted at us or on Facebook or even in the shithole universe that is YouTube comments.
Wait, you went there?
Oh, yeah. I love it there.
What's it like?
It's just,
is it scary?
It's pretty scary.
Back.
Yeah. It's pretty scary. It's almost as scary as sharks and snakes, but it's actually kind of funny, too.
Yeah. I mean, I would take my weapons in with me if Yoda told me not to. I would still take my weapons with me into the YouTube chat because I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm going to learn the hard way. I'm not going to do that, though. So.
No, but a lot of people are like, oh, I actually loved it. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And other people, I was like, oh, I agree with you. But a lot of people have been pretty respectful. So good job.
Good job
out there, universe.
Yeah.
Internet universe. And then, of course, some people are like, why is this person talking? They disagree with me. I'm like, because it's our job to review it. We literally have to review it. We can't not be not honest about it. So we got to say whether we liked it or not, right?
Right.
So there you
I'm
go.
Jealous. I was in the wrong video, apparently.
Oh, no.
Ours was not pretty.
Was that for Movie Talk? Or?
No, I did a review with Emma. And okay. I thought it was a great review.
Like a non-spoiler?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah.
But will you get...
I felt
like there was...
It's all good. It's
for,
all good.
For a minute there, though, before it really opened, I saw a lot of people that hadn't seen it and were kind of like already going in on it because maybe they read some spoilers or some leaks. I felt like there was something that happened with leaks, and they were saying like they were upset about that.
People were leaking stuff. I think the second we walked out of the premiere screen,
I saw
images circulating out there.
Yep.
How are you invited to a Star Wars premiere, and then you do that?
I don't know.
I don't even understand how that would have been possible for someone in the theater.
Phones were gone,
taken and locked away.
Interesting.
Not everybody does it though. I mean, I never give up my phone, but I just turn it off. I just have it with me. I turn it off.
Oh wait, you don't.
Yeah, I usually just
silence my
phone.
Don't they make you
premiere?
Yeah, certain screenings they give you like that mitten thing, and you got to put your phone in there, and it gets locked.
Yeah, I still don't give it up.
It is what it is.
But I turn it off.
Tell me your ways.
I'm very sneaky, Perry. So we got about 5 minutes before we go to break.
Yeah.
So maybe let's take some calls, Christian. Do you mind opening up the phone lines,
please?
Yeah,
sure. Let's plan that.
Is that cool? Oh, we don't have to if you don't want to because you are
salty
the booth
Christian.
Boy. You are the booth boy today.
We're gonna,
you get to do what you want.
Yeah, yeah. How's the show going in there, Christian? What do you want to do?
We'll take some calls.
Great,
that
thank you.
Like a good idea.
Oh, okay. That's a great idea, Christian.
Yeah,
thank you for thinking of that.
Yeah,
that's why you're so smart. That's why you're here.
You two are funny. I like
this. This is basically when I'm on the Wangers podcast. This is what happens.
Yeah, we treat our guests like shit. Yeah. All right, here we go. We got a call.
I wouldn't know.
Hey, you are on Collider Live. Where are you calling from? Who are you? What's your name? How's it going?
Got the hot finger 2 days in a row. It's Troy from Boston.
Hey, all right. 2 days in a row. I love this.
How's it going? You got Mark, Perry, Christian, Alex.
Doing pretty good. Glad to see you guys are in a happy mood. I am as well. I enjoyed the movie last night. I don't want to talk too much about it.
The movie. Glad you
the
enjoyed
movie
it.
The movie that won't be named.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah. I'm kind of nostalgic and old school, so I was flipping through all my movie subs from the past couple of years. Mm. And I noticed every now and then I go on sprees. I average like once a week, but every now and then I go on really good sprees. So I wanted to share with you mine, see which one you guys thought was best, and then maybe see if you had any memorable ones. I'm sure Perry does with all the festivals she goes to.
Nice.
Go on a spree as in see a whole bunch of movies really quickly? Saving stuff?
Exactly, yeah. Two or three movies in like 2 or 3 days, exactly.
Mm. Okay. I'm trying to think. Go. Like, okay, so give us yours and while we're thinking.
Just last month, saw Knives Out and Ford versus Ferrari in back-to-back days. Mm. Both very enjoyable films
that
I was surprised by. Last year, I had a pretty good pairing of A Quiet Place and Avengers Infinity War. But I think my all-time best was in 2017. I saw a midnight showing of It, and then the following night did a back-to-back run with Logan Lucky and The Big Sick.
Nice.
That's good.
Those are pretty good movies. Thank you for the call. What are you guys thinking?
Thanks.
I'm trying to think.
He's not. Yeah, my mind definitely goes to festivals. I think one of my favorite days at Sundance, and I'm pretty sure these are the right titles, but one day at Sundance, we had the interview suite open all day. So I'm like the happiest person in the world doing interviews for however many hours. And then immediately from there, I went and I saw Honey Boy. And then immediately after Honey Boy, I went and saw Little Monsters. Ooh. So it's just like between those two movies and all the interviews, it's one of the best days ever.
That's pretty cool. I guess similar to that experience is my first Fantastic Fest this year. And where for the actual premiere night, I got to see Jojo Rabbit, which is one of my favorite movies of the year. Beautiful movie that everyone should see. And then right after that, I got to see Takashi Miike's new movie this year, First Love, which I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see it yet.
I have not watched it yet.
But it's fantastic. I'm calling it the Japanese True Romance. It's my favorite romantic comedy of the year.
I can see that being the case.
Yeah. It's super violent. It's super funny. I loved it a lot. What about you, Mark?
I want to go to Fantastic Fest.
I know.
Next year.
It's far away.
Next year, 2020.
I mean, the run I just did was Jojo Rabbit and Parasite. Like kind of back to back. I mean, because I know I can't remember doing it in theaters, to be honest with you. But just recently getting those two that I really wanted to see, finally seen, and having them jump into my top five immediately was so much fun.
Yeah. No, those are pretty great movies.
They're two of the best.
If you haven't seen it, you guys have
to see it.
They're
so fantastic.
Christian, Alex, anything?
What did I do? I saw Parasite and another movie on the same day. I can't remember. My life kind of sucks. Oh, I saw Star Wars and 1917 the same day, so it was kind of like
a low, then an extreme high.
A medium, and then an extreme high.
Okay.
1917 fucks. Alex? I'm looking at my spreadsheet. I got a fighting.
He's got a spreadsheet.
Do you have a movie spreadsheet, Alex?
You guys haven't seen this shit?
Nerd.
No.
Such a nerd.
Oh, yeah. I got, let's see. Oh, my God. Where was I? Fighting with my family in Roma, I did in a day.
All right.
That was fun.
That's a good one.
Wait, so is this a sheet that you keep for the year of your favorite movies?
Yeah, I have it for this year and last year.
Wow.
And you have the dates that you saw these movies on
and all the money I spent on it, too.
He's got, like, how many times he's seen the movie, how many times he's been to the theater, how many chicks he takes to these. Oh, I mean, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. That's a lie. That was a joke.
I don't have any friends.
It's okay, Christian. Geez. Me either. It's fine.
Alex said that, not me.
Oh, Alex, you do have friends. You have us.
What are you talking about, man?
Acquaintances, really, more than anything.
Anyway. We got another call. You're on Collider Live. What's your name? How's it going?
I'm Liedrich from Florida.
Wait, what's your name?
Liedrich from Florida.
Liedrich.
Liedrich.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Very cool name, Liedrich.
How are you? How's it going?
Yes, I have a question for Perry. First one is, if you wasn't, I know you host Movie Talk and you like go like by the book, you know, no cursing. But if you were hosting Collider Live, would you be carefree and cursed?
If I am given permission,
great question,
the F-bombs will rain. I feel
fuck
like
yeah, Perry, come on.
I should let loose, Perry.
I should tell
my mom to let everybody know how mad she is about my super foul mouth, because apparently I drop F-bombs all the time.
Do you?
With your family, though.
It's incredible how you could just turn it on and off, though.
Yeah, I can't.
Because I do. I say the F-word all the
time. It's hard. The other day, my fiancé said I curse like a sailor. So I was like, okay, I'll take that. Yeah, I kind of do.
I do it in both English and Spanish, too.
It's only slipped out on Movie Talk once, and it was well worth it. Have you seen the clip where I caught a fly?
No.
Yeah.
You caught a fly with your hand?
I think that might
be. What are you, MacGyver?
I think it might be one of my favorite clips of all of Collider video of 2019. I was sitting there, there was a fly going around the set, and I went like that, and then I looked at my hand, and I said like something like, oh, fuck, I got it. And then I got all mad at myself for saying that on the show. But the clip lives on, and it's glorious.
Oh, man, I hope Alex finds it because he's looking it up.
Somewhere. I think it's on one of the channels.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call. That was a great question. We obviously hang out. Yes. We obviously hang out with Perry outside of the office, and, you know, we go to, like, beer festivals. And
just a few of those,
And that's when I hear your words come out. That's fun for me. There
it is. I don't remember any of those words.
Is that it?
Oh, yeah. I think this is it. There's a fly in my face.
You saw it. It's right here.
I did.
I think I caught it. I fucking caught it.
There you go.
I'm safe.
She's
and like, just about right now, Mr. Miyagi steps in and goes, "Beginner's luck."
Exactly. Oh, man. And with that, we're actually going to go to break, guys, because Forrest Galant is coming on the show. We're very excited. Wildlife expert, superhero of the world. We will be right back. Welcome back to Collider Live. We're very happy that Forrest Galant is joining us.
Hey, Forrest,
wildlife
welcome.
Expert, real life superhero, lover of animals. So excited you're here.
I'm definitely the third one. I'm definitely a lover of animals. I don't know about superhero and expert, but no, thank you guys. Thanks for having me. This is lots of fun.
Well, the fact that you swim with sharks, that puts you at superhero level for me.
There you go.
Couldn't do it. I mean, I mean, it depends on the shark, but what you were doing with the looking for the Pondicherry shark, I was like, no, I'm not.
Well, you could do it because you have done it. If you swum in the ocean, you swum with sharks.
Oh, that's terrifying. See, that's
very true. And kind of what you were talking about yes. when you're like, what are you afraid of? Like, when I'm in the ocean, I'm like, there's sharks here. I know.
There are.
I know.
There yeah. are. That's their domain.
But that's yeah. what's so crazy. So before you came in, I was saying that I was so excited to talk to you because a lot of us grow up with these fears of certain animals, right?
Sure.
Like, I grew up being scared of, like, sharks and snakes. Thanks to Jaws and Anaconda and all yeah. these movies, right, that I'm sure are very accurate.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're not.
They're documentaries.
Of course. But I did see your video but that I believe was on GQ where you're breaking down
yeah.
animal scenes
yeah.
in all of these movies, like mm-hmm. The Shallows and Jaws and Anaconda.
Yep.
And it was fascinating to hear you talk about little things like, you know, they make the snake itself look a little bit scarier or
right.
meaner with the eyes, but
right.
that's not what snake eyes look like. So do you think that fear of people our fear that we have of other animals, is that because of movies? Is that because of media? Where do you think that comes from?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of a number of things. First and foremost, I think we fear what we don't understand
yeah.
as human beings. I think that's human nature. And for most of us, you know, as we sit here in Burbank, California, we don't understand wildlife.
Right.
You know, we see it on TV or, you know, we see it from a vehicle or at a zoo or whatever it is, but we don't understand it. We don't interact with it. And we
right.
don't understand how complex and intelligent creatures are. Media, of course, contributes to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see things like Jaws or Anaconda or whatever, and, you know, all the villain is the animal,
mm-hmm.
right? And you compound that with the fact that we're just removed from it all. It gives you – you're like, what do you see on TV? Well, you see Jaws, you know.
Yeah.
Do I ever see a white shark? You know, I do, but does the average person ever see a white shark? No. So all I know is what I've seen. I'm removed from it. I don't understand it. I don't interact with it. I'm scared of it, you know. So I think it's a combination of factors, and I think that – you know, I'm not trying to disparage media. I work in media. I love media.
Right.
But and it gets viewers, but I think people just need to understand, you know, a movie's a movie. It's
mm-hmm.
not, you know, just because – Jaws is depicting this man-eating killer mega great white shark doesn't mean anything. It's just a movie. It's entertainment.
Okay, well, I'm going to work on that. But but watching your show Extinct or Alive on Animal Planet actually helps, right? Like it's kind of you're basically educating the public into how to talk to these or not how to treat these animals, right?
Well,
and I feel like that's very impressive because I couldn't do that.
We definitely flip it on its head, you
yeah.
know, and what I mean by that is so the premise of my show, Extinct or Alive,
yeah.
is to travel the world looking for evidence that animals deemed extinct could actually still be out there.
Yeah.
Once a creature is written off as extinct, that's the end of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no funding for extinct creatures. Extinct means gone, wiped right. off the face of the earth. So my field of interest, my passion outside of all wildlife, one that I'm very focused on, is critically endangered species on the edge of extinction. So anyway, I only tell you all this because you're like, well, why would you be interacting with dangerous sharks and snakes? Along the journey, because we go to such remote locations
right.
and we do such lengthy expeditions, we encounter a lot of these kind of feared creatures that
mm-hmm.
we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that my show does or attempts to do and what I attempt to do as a mission statement is to educate people that these things are not scary.
Mm-hmm.
They are dangerous, but they just deserve to be respected rather than feared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I'm walking through a forest in Vietnam and I have a big cobra by my feet, I pick it up and show that to the audience. I go, look, you know, this animal doesn't want to be here. You know, this is a big, beautiful cobra that my producer almost stepped on and died, but it's because we're in his environment and
right.
he almost stepped on it. It's not because the cobra came charging out of the bushes to attack us. That's just not how it works. And so we try and communicate that message regularly because it's a good message. Like, people
it's
need to know this
message.
Stuff, you
Absolutely.
Know? Like, it's animals are not just scary by being animals. They're
mm-hmm.
scary because, you know, they have their backs against the wall or we're invading their space. Like, that's just the same thing as if some guy comes into your house, you know?
Have
right.
you ever had a fear of animals? Like, even when you were little before you learned all of this stuff?
Well, I grew up with it, so it's hard for me to say, you know, I'm always learning. I'm in a constant state of learning. But I'm not trying to be tough and say, no, I've never been scared of anything, because quite the opposite. But there are situations every month, every week that I work where I'm scared without
yeah.
any doubt. But, you know, it's being scared. I'm scared because I put myself into that situation. And I think, you know, the difference – I'm not saying, like, I'm fearless or anything like that. I may be brave because I work through the fear. But it's not that I'm not scared. I just take calculated risks.
Mm.
And to answer your question, that was a long-winded way, but to answer your question, was I ever scared of it? No, I've just always understood it and kind of pushed the limit a little bit.
But, right. I mean, you've been basically, you know, you've been bitten by a venomous snake. You've been, on a plane crash.
Two plane crashes.
Jesus. I mean, I think you've been bitten by a shark as well. Like, you've had all of these experiences. Oh, okay, my God. So... Can we see that?
Okay, not that. That's a burn from cooking crab two nights ago. So ignore that. It's a little one about it, yeah.
You see, and that was just in your own home.
Yeah,
so.
See?
It looks
and
more
which one's more dangerous,
was.
Like the crab pot or the shark?
Yeah.
But yeah, you've had all these experiences with these creatures. I mean, number one, what's the scariest one? And number two, like, that hasn't stopped you from continuing your job.
No, definitely not. In fact, it inspires me, and I learn from each one, right? Each close call teaches me something. Sometimes, most of the time, it's my fault, right? Oh, okay, I pushed it too far. Here's what I did. Here's what I shouldn't have done. And I won't make that mistake again.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, animals are like people. Sometimes you get a grouchy one. Yeah.
Especially if you're in their environment.
Yeah,
right?
they have their own temperaments, you know, and every species is – everyone's different, and everyone you learn to understand and respect and behave differently around. But to answer your question, what's the animal I'm the most scared of?
Mm-hmm.
Mosquitoes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How come?
Yeah, because are there, like, different species of mosquitoes? Well, I'm sure there are, but that are, like – the most dangerous down to the common one that we might have in our backyard.
They're all the most dangerous. I mean, really? Not all every species, but, you know, if I go on a 3-month-long trek through the African bush, the thing that is the most likely to kill me is not a lion, it's mm-hmm. not a buffalo, it's not a snake, it's not an elephant, it's a mosquito that gives me malaria.
Right.
Right. So, okay. And what's the one thing that I cannot avoid? It's the mosquitoes.
Mm. Right.
You know, I can see the lion and approach and know how to do it. That's it. That's all I got for a mosquito, you know, right. A little slap on the neck or whatever. So for me, the most dangerous stuff is the small stuff. Yeah.
It usually is, right?
I feel like now there's going to be a lot of people staying up at night worrying about mosquitoes.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody is going to die. Literally everyone that's watching this, you're all going to die.
We all are, though. We talk about this all the time.
That's true. We are. No, but look, and I mean, there's no malaria here, obviously, in the United States. And you know, there's very easy ways to prevent malaria. Cover up at night, take Malarone, whatever. But the point is just that it's not the big things that are scary. There's not even that many of the big things left in the world, you know, really and truly. Right. It's the little things that can get you. It's the parasites. It's the mosquitoes. Yeah. It's dengue fever, malaria, things like that. That's the worst stuff.
Right. And, I mean, so your show, Extinct or Alive Again, I mean, it's you're looking for these species that were supposedly extinct, and you found a couple, which is incredible.
That's amazing. Thank you.
One of them is the Zanzibar leopard, right?
Yep.
The other one is the Fernandina, I'm just going to read it in Spanish, mm-hmm. a tortoise.
Yep.
And so when this happened, like the first time you basically saw the headline that said, you know, Animal Planet's Extinct or Alive actually finds its first extinct species. Like, what did that feel like for you?
Well, it's funny because by the time that I'd seen a headline, I was way on to the next thing already, if you know what I mean. But the feeling – so we're up to about 5 animals mm-hmm. deemed extinct or believed, not deemed necessarily, but believed extinct mm-hmm. that we've uncovered, which is huge. And I'm very proud of what myself and my team have accomplished in that realm. Very, very big for conservation. We've raised a lot of money for conservation and supported a lot of ongoing efforts. So I'm proud of that.
That's great.
As you should be.
Yeah. But you know, when when I first started telling people, like, I'm going to go look for extinct animals, right? I don't know if you guys are familiar with The Lost City of Z. It's the adventurer Percy Fawcett.
Mm-hmm.
They made a movie about it. You guys are movie buffs, right? Yeah. So you remember that scene, because you're movie buffs, so I think you'll be able to relate to this. Remember that scene where he's standing up there and he's in this hall, right? And there's all these like stuffy guys in smoking jackets going, "You're insane, you're never gonna find it."
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's me when I started working. You know, like I'm Percy Fawcett in that situation, talking to Animal Planet, talking to various conservation groups, going, "Hey, I'm looking for extinct animals." They're like, "You're insane, get out of here."
Yeah.
You know. So to go from that to like, you know, must have been late 2017 when we first got the footage of the Zanzibar leopard, the first animal presumed extinct that we uncovered. I was like, I'm starting to get goosebumps
That's
just thinking
awesome.
About it. Like, and that feeling never goes away. You know, it floored me. It absolutely floored me. Like, it made an entire life of work come to fruition in a single moment, in a single 2 or 3 second clip, whatever it was that we had that Zanzibar walk across the frame of that trail camera. It was like my entire life's work came to fruition in 2 seconds.
I mean, your reaction in the video is beautiful. I mean, you're all freaking out, right? Because it's such an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And why do you think, you know, us as humans are just so freaked out by this? It's like we think that something that was created by nature or whatever, you know, your beliefs are.
Right.
And to see that, hey, there's this thing that we didn't even know existed or we didn't even think existed and we just found it, right? Like that's what do you think that's what keeps life magical? Do you think that's why we're so obsessed with these types of like nature documentary things?
Well, it's very romantic, right? You've got this this concept of something coming back from the dead, a Lazarus, you know, as the Bible puts it. Like, it's very romantic. And on top of that, it's, you know, it's arrogant for us as human beings to say definitively something's gone. It's a big world. There's a lot of places to hide, and animals are good at hiding for the most part. And I'm not saying we should undersell extinction, because we shouldn't. It's a very serious, severe thing that people should be aware of and not take lightly. But it's very arrogant to be like, oh, you know, I'm a Western scientist, and I haven't seen this thing in 30 years extinct. You know, like that's a very, like, human wanting to classify something, like, arrogant statement. So I'm not saying that the people that do this are arrogant, because they're not. They're scientists just like myself trying to do the best thing they can. But, you know, to throw that out the window and just say, screw it, like, we're going to go look for it. And then to find it, to have this creature still be there, even if it's one or two or a handful of them, it's like such a hopeful thing. Like, it inspires hope across the planet. And I think that's why our show has been so successful and the work I do has been so successful, because if there's 300 pandas left, and there aren't, there's much more, but my point is, if there's 300 of a species left, and you go and film it, great. But we know there's 300 of them, right? Mm-hmm. And it's still fantastic. That animal deserves tons of support and conservation efforts. But that's less romantic, I think, than the notion that this thing is gone. There's none of them. Here it is. We found it.
Wow. And so you said aside from the two we mentioned, you said about five. Can you mention the other three that you found? Because I'm fascinated.
Yeah. So we've got the Zanzibar leopard was the first one that I uncovered. Followed by that was the Fernandina. Yeah, I'm getting the order mixed up now. But anyway, Zanzibar leopard, Fernandina tortoise, the two that you've mentioned. One in Zanzibar, one in the Galapagos. We also found the Pondicherry shark. Or so we believe.
You believe.
Well, what I mean by that is we're still getting genetic confirmation. I didn't have the – every country has its own laws and rules, and we, of course, try to abide by those at all times. So we weren't able to bring genetic material back to have tested. So that's still being tested in Sri Lanka, and it's a slow process. That being said, but everything's pointing to that it's a Pondicherry.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. It looks like it. It matches the description. The teeth line up, you know, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, Zanzibar leopard, Fernandina tortoise, Pondicherry shark. Then in the last 3 months or 2 months, what's come out publicly is we also uncovered footage of the Miller's grizzled langur, a beautiful species of monkey known as the Dracula monkey that hadn't been seen since 2012.
Ooh, good name.
Yeah, they're super cool.
Dorina just perked up.
Can we look that up, Christian or Alex? I want to see a photo of that.
They're called the Dracula monkey because they have this amazing like collar of fur, this white collar. Super cool animal. So we got footage of them, first time since 2012.
Wow.
And then the Rio Apoporus caiman, which is a large species of crocodilian not seen since the 80s.
Ooh.
So it's been, it's
Where
been
was
amazing.
That?
The Colombian Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, and so is there just, like, what's the craziest place you've been to?
Jeez.
Because I can't imagine. I mean, we freak out when we just leave the office.
I know. Burbank's a jungle.
I know.
You got to watch out.
Colombian Amazon. Oh, yeah, look. There.
It's so cute.
The third one's the monkey.
No, that's awesome.
beautiful, beautiful animal.
So cute.
If you go to the picture kind of middle bottom, right below me, that one, you can see the collar there. You see the white collar where it gets the Dracula name from?
It's so fluffy.
Very fluffy. Very cool animal.
Very cool.
You know, but I kind of take all the credit for this. Like, I love what we do, and we're very good at exposing it. There's scientists we work with in the field. There's scientists that continue to manage the conservation of these species. You know, I just want to say, like, we work with amazing people in the field who probably don't get highlighted as much as they should, you know.
Yeah.
And just because I'm the hide-and-seek master doesn't mean they're not doing the most important work. So I just wanted to out there.
Or that you're not by yourself, right? You need people with you to help
you.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of support and all kinds of people managing, especially once we uncover the animals. Then it's like these teams of in-country biologists and scientists get to, like, we hand it over. It's like, fix it. You know what I mean? Right. We found it. Like, this was the key. This was the missing piece of the puzzle. Now you have the resources to manage the conservation.
It's interesting. I wanted to know if just – have you had, like, close calls where you thought maybe that this species was a part of an extinct line and it turned out not to be? I mean, it might seem like a stupid question, but I'm wondering, since you have these scientists and experts there, is there any kind of, like – you know, because I'm looking at the Dracula monkey, and I don't it looks cool. You know, when you say it has the fur, and that classifies it. Is there like an animal that's close in species? Like, no, it's not that actually.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, misidentification happens all the time. You know, is some things like the shark, for instance, we were talking about. You can barely tell it apart from other species of shark, which is why the genetics are a necessity. You know, other things are. Yes, animals are confusing, but other things like the Fernandina tortoise, right? It looks similar to many of the other Galapagos tortoise species, but it's the only one to occur on that island. Tortoises kind of swim, so there's no other species could be on that island.
Got it.
You know what
right.
I mean? So there's misidentification cases all the time. There's things that I can't tell. We get stuff on trail cameras, and me as an expert, I look at it and go, I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got the butt of something that could be an extinct saula. Okay. It could be a mountain goat. You know what I mean? It's a butt on a trail camera. Like, I don't know. What do you want me to say? Like, I'm an expert, but I'm not a butt expert.
Need more footage.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, these things definitely happen, and it's all part of it. And it's fun because, like, in the show, you know, I'm a biologist by trade, not a TV host, not a TV presenter. I've never done anything in TV before doing biology work on television. And it's fun because in the show, I think one thing that's very underrepresented in media is – wildlife science. Mm-hmm. Like, we just don't get to see a lot of it. Like we talked about at the beginning of the show, this show, you know, there's Anaconda and Jaws and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's not wildlife science. That's just nonsense, you know? like Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a biologist? Like, I don't know about that, you know? I'm thinking Jumanji.
He's not.
right, you know? And he's freaking amazing. One of my favorite actors. He's super fun to watch. And I love those kind of movies. But, you know, that's still not – we do documentaries. Like, we really do. Like, our shows are follow me on this biological expedition and learn about science. Learn about tools like eDNA and trail cameras and thermal drones and all these fun tools that scientists get to use. And we get to show that to the world. And I think people are really like, wow, this is how real wildlife science goes? Mm. This is really cool.
Yeah. Mm. And how can people, you know, help any of this? Like is there ways that our audience can support these types of, you know, the great things that you're trying to do with your team other than watch your show?
Yeah. I wasn't even going to say that. But, there's lots of stuff people can do. And, you know, that depends what position you're in. You can do everything from, you know, choosing not to get a plastic straw or a plastic bag at the grocery store to donating money to great organizations to volunteering at local wildlife rescues and shelters. I mean, there's so much to do. It's like no matter where you are, no matter who you are, you can Google, like, how do I help? And there's a plethora of information that comes up right in your area, right in your backyard. You don't have to put yourself out. Like I said, things like saying no to the plastic bag at the grocery store, that in itself makes a big difference, right? There's a great quote. I forget who said it, that it's not – a matter of one person doing sustainability or conservation perfectly. It's a matter of everybody doing it imperfectly that makes a big difference.
Oh,
yeah. That's great.
That's a great quote. I have a very silly question, but
Shoot.
We can't bring up extinction and mosquitoes in one conversation and not have me ask you about this.
Jurassic Park, go.
Yes.
Is her favorite movie.
How did you know? You must have known Perry's.
Any realistic elements that whatsoever? Do you see a future, whether it's dinosaurs or not, where they can extract DNA from something, fill the gaps with another animal, and we could see a new species?
100%.
My God. You just freaked her
wait
out.
Wait a minute.
No, it's.
You just got me. Oh, my God. Okay.
No, so I don't know if you guys know this. Jurassic Park's actually a documentary.
I do.
We're all like, really? Yes.
No, but the there is zero doubt in my mind that in the foreseeable future, like our children's generation, de-extinction, which is an actual term, will be a real thing. And cloning is already a real thing, right? It's not perfected. And it's very complicated. And I can talk you through the genetics of how it will never be the exact animal that it was, if you'd like. But the point is, it's already possible. Like there are groups working on species like the passenger pigeon, which is a species we used to have in the billions here in North America that's extinct. Basically, to summarize it, you can pull some DNA out of, you know, not fossilized, but museum specimens of passenger pigeon and collected ones and feathers and tissue and things like that. And you can for simplistic sake, let's say, inject it into a very close living relative of a different pigeon, and through a little bit of tweaking, you get a passenger pigeon. So it's the science is already there. There's a fantastic TED Talk called "The Dawn of the Extinction," by the way, that explains it far better than I just did.
Yeah.
But it's a real thing. Yeah. So long story short, in our future, you will absolutely, I believe, we will absolutely have the science and technology to de-extinct creatures.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
We are. You just freaked us out even more right
it's
now.
Pretty nuts.
In a great way.
But even to the sci-fi of it, with dinosaurs in particular, could that be something? Like, dinosaurs. I just can't wrap my head around that idea.
I believe so. I don't know exactly how the process goes, but, you know, 15 years ago, if you said, can you make meat in a lab, the answer was definitely not, right?
Right.
Today, you can buy meat made in a lab.
What would be the species that you found, I guess, that's the most ancient species that would or is still alive today?
Interesting. I mean, it depends how far you break it down. Like, there are species that have remained unchanged through evolutionary time for hundreds of millions of years. Mm-hmm. Coelacanth is 666 million years old. It's a fish that lives in the ocean, right? There are microorganisms far older than that have remained unchanged since, as far as we can tell, the beginning of time for this planet. That being said, like, what's something that's relatable? Think of, like, crocodiles, right?
Okay.
Crocodiles are, like, perfect. And what I mean by that is they haven't changed in their evolution for hundreds of millions of years because they basically peaked.
Yeah.
And what I mean by peaked is, like, they change, they warp, they evolve to be this perfect predator in their environment. They can go long periods of time without food. They can sneak up on stuff. They can eat stuff. You know what I mean? They can reproduce easily. So they just haven't changed in a long time. Like,
right.
They've just remained the same animal that they've been for millions of years.
I mean, they're so cool. Why would they change?
Yeah, exactly.
Is there – do you have, like, Moby Dick? Do you have your whale? Is there a particular species that you would just love to encounter?
There's lots. And there's lots of, like, known species that are on my bucket list. But my Moby Dick, so to speak, is the thylacine, the Tasmanian tiger. So it's probably the most iconic animal that we've – driven to extinction in the last couple hundred years, and it's earned, like, and I'm not a cryptid guy, but it's earned, like, a Bigfoot status in the sense of, like,
ooh,
there's constant reported sightings of it. People believe it's there. There's people telling you, I've seen it 100%. Those pictures on the left that you're seeing, those are the real animal. That's from the Hobart Zoo right before it died in captivity. And then you're seeing taxidermy specimens. So this is a thylacine, also known as the Tasmanian tiger, marsupial wolf. This is a marsupial, a.k.a. a kangaroo that looks like a dog.
I was going to say.
It has the jaws of a wolf. Yeah.
It looks like a hyena mixed with a zebra. Like, it's fascinating. And what? When's the last time this animal was spotted?
Well, spotted probably yesterday. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And in the sense of it's Bigfoot in its nature, in the sense of, like, reported sightings come in weekly in Tasmania and Australia. I personally believe that it's still out there in very small numbers in very isolated pockets. And I'll be planning on launching an expedition to a whole new region, Papua New Guinea, to look for this animal probably late 2020, maybe mid-2020. So still working on the details on that. But I believe it's out there, and that's my great white whale. I've been on two very lengthy expeditions looking for this animal already, one in Tasmania, one in northern Australia. So I'm just going to keep moving north in its range. I go to Papua New Guinea next.
Oh, do you have any pets? Or do these animals take up most of your animal-loving heart?
I have 91 pets at home.
91.
No way.
Yeah. My wife did a math problem once she's a school teacher for her students. So that includes, like, all the goldfish in the fish pond and, like, things like that. But realistically, we have quite a lot of pets. So we live on an acre in Santa Barbara.
Oh,
and,
nice.
It's beautiful up in the hills. And we are, like, an unofficial rescue.
That's great.
Yeah. Anybody that you know, finds something that needs a home or is abandoned ends up at our house. And this was never the intention. Like, we love animals, duh. But, you know, that we never wanted to, like, be a rescue facility or anything like that. Like, I travel 8 months out of the year and blah, blah, blah. But we started taking in things that needed a home, and it grew and grew and grew, and it's like a full-time ordeal.
So is it, like, dogs, cats?
Less of those.
Less of those?
I mean, we have three dogs, no cats. We have maybe 15 or 20 turtles in the pond, two giant sulcata tortoises, African spurred tortoises, mini horse, mini donkey, two miniature pigs. One was a rescue from Hurricane Katrina.
Oh.
The other came from a family that got divorced, and then they both moved into, like, condos, so couldn't have a pig anymore from a ranch. A bunch of peacocks, chickens, guinea fowl, turkeys. I mean, it's just a mess.
It's a zoo, basically. You live in a zoo.
Do you name them all?
sort of. Not really. Like, I'm such a nerd. I call all the turtles by their scientific names, like their Latin names. Donkey is Donkey. The miniature horse is Felice, like donkey. Felice Navidad, because we got him on Christmas.
Nice.
Buttons is the pig that had that name already because she was rescued from Hurricane Katrina. And Reagan is the other pig that we got, which also already had that name. So, like, you know, it's like a blend.
That's great.
And it's not a mess. It's actually very organized and very fun. And, like, it is like a petting zoo. Like, we're constantly building and changing things around. But it's a mess in the sense of we can't say no to an animal in need. It's terrible.
Understand. Well, Forrest, if you run out of room, my mother is taking animals in every single day.
I thought you were going to say we could put your mother in the zoo. Like, yeah. You got a nice pen for her.
I have
what's
she
her
might
Latin
not
name?
Like it, but yeah. But yeah, her species name is Mrs. Riley, I guess. Yeah.
I guess we have time for one more question for us, unfortunately, as much as I would talk to you for hours because it's fascinating. So, you know, you kind of fell into this world as a kid because you moved to Zimbabwe, you know, and that's where you grew up. Mm-hmm. But do you think this is your calling? Do you think what would you be doing if you weren't doing this?
This is my calling in life. This is what I'm meant to do. If I wasn't doing it for television, I'd just be doing it as a scientist. But it's more impactful, in my opinion, doing it for television because I reach so many people. I get hundreds of messages a day from kids saying, I want to grow up and be a biologist. You know, and that's to me, that's the greatest prize of all.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for being here. If you want to catch his show, Forrest Galante is on Extinct or Alive on Animal Planet. Thank you to Mark Riley. Thank you,
thank
Perry.
You.
Christian, Alex in the booth. You guys have a wonderful weekend. If you're going to yell about space movies, do it in a kind way. I hope you enjoy the weekend and see you on Monday.
Yo, Alex.
Hey, what's up?
Sharks are dope, dude. I love sharks. I want to swim with sharks so bad. I held a nurse shark one time. Whoa. That was cool. No, what? Alex, gosh. I did kill a spider this morning. Sorry.
People notice a healthy smile, but maybe you have tooth sensitivity, bleeding gums, or acid-weakened enamel. Sensodyne, Parodontax, and Pronamel are trusted specialty toothpastes created to help improve your oral health. For tooth sensitivity, choose Sensodyne. Bleeding gums, get Parodontax. For acid-weakened enamel, Pronamel is the toothpaste for you. Sensodyne, Parodontax, and Pronamel. Trusted specialty toothpastes to help bring home your healthy smile. Visit Ibotta to earn cash back.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is coming soon. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who found the key to the right coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online.
I took my time and found the best Medicare Advantage plan for me at myhealthpolicy.com.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plan, so I called myhealthpolicy.com.
And finally, Michael.
I prefer face-to-face, so I chose myhealthpolicy.com and enrolled on the spot.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to learn about top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans. Or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. MyHealthPolicy.com. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.